Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Tuesday morning, so we are talking about getting healed. We've recently been talking about what is a difficult subject. And it's difficult because it's personal. We've been talking about forgiveness. And I think we got through okay with the forgiving God. But now we're on forgiving others. And there are so many misconceptions about what God means by forgiving others that we get torn apart. What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to forgive others? And there's so many teachings out there. Everyone's telling us that this is how to forgive, this is how often to forgive, this is what the results of forgiveness, and the consequences of not forgiving. There's a reason it's so important that we understand this clearly for ourselves and not because someone else teaches it. This is an area where we're vulnerable, forgiving others, because it so often involves our relationships. And where in our lives are the three areas that matter to us most? Our health, relationships, and finances. So those are areas God gets our attention. And if we don't recognize that it is God getting our attention, we blame ourselves or our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's a pretty stark choice. It's either God or our enemies. So if we don't understand forgiveness, we become vulnerable because we're believing a lie. So specifically talking about forgiving others, let's just quickly revisit the whole concept of how of forgiveness in a traditional sense, being that we are obligated to forgive. We forgive because it is an obligation. Or we forgive because it's a tradition, or it's more or less bullied out of us. You know, you're a Christian, you have to forgive me. Or because we have attached it to God's expectations of us. And we'll either receive the consequences from him if we don't forgive, or receive blessings from him if we do forgive. So we make it a part of our relationship with God. In other words, we'll forgive and just put up with the situation, thinking that pleases God. And also, we fuzzy up our concept of forgiveness for our own purposes. Because often when we have a correct view of what forgiveness is now as a spirit being, we may have to change some things. We may have to make some decisions. And sometimes those decisions are very hard. But it's not as hard as living with misunderstanding forgiveness. So, as a reminder, all your sin behaviors have been forgiven. Everyone's sin behaviors have been forgiven. And you, if you're a spirit being, your sin nature has been forgiven so thoroughly that your sin nature has been replaced, overwhelmed, overshadowed with your new spirit nature. You're no longer a sinful creature. And since only sinners can sin, you no longer sin. You make mistakes. You argue with God. You develop flesh. But because you no longer have a sin nature, you do not sin. You act contrary to who you are. Now, if you're not a believer, everything you do is from a sin nature. You can't not sin. So for us to be surprised that a sinner sins is really a waste of energy. Of course they're going to. They don't have any choice. We could say it's not their fault. That's all they know. But for you and I to continue to see ourselves that way, as victims, as of our sinfulness, perceived sinfulness, victims of our past, our inabilities to deal with things today, these are all things that are not true. And we will probably deal with some of them in the next portion where we talk about forgiveness of self. But when we forgive others, we allow them to be where God has them. We accept them where they are. We acknowledge that God is working in their life in the way He chooses. So forgiveness, even though we're talking about forgiving someone else, is not about the other person. It's not about their changing or accepting responsibility, or asking for forgiveness. Forgiving others is acknowledging our new forgiving nature. Often what follows that is where we have the hardest time. Because it's after we forgive, we are released from so many of those misconceptions, and we can look at the situation objectively and then make decisions. talking it over with God, but acknowledging that actions may be necessary, decisions may be necessary. Most often in a situation where forgiveness is necessary, trust has been broken. And so often, especially in Christian relationships, Christian marriages, Christian churches, forgiveness is used to prevent change, to avoid accountability, to cover up problems. But when we see it from God's perspective, see forgiveness from our new nature's perspective, we see that the true intent of forgiveness is to release us from judging the situation from our own perspective. Because we, through forgiving others, we release them back into God's hands. We free them, we free ourselves, so that then we are able to objectively look at the situation and set a course for moving ahead. When talking with people about different situations, and I've forgiven them, but it doesn't seem to matter to them. Doesn't seem to have changed anything. And why would it? When we have a false expectation that forgiveness has anything to do with the forgiven. When you forgive someone, it's all about you. So I often ask, you know, take a person through the process. This is how you forgive. This is what it means. This is what it looks like. Like, let's do it. And then once we're done, taking it back to the situation, this is the other problem, is we go through the forgiveness process and then don't look at, okay, now how are we going to resolve the issue and finish the whole concept of dealing with the situation that caused the need for forgiveness. We do the forgiveness part, but that's only half the issue. If we don't deal with the other half, we're neglecting the opportunity that God has placed in our life. So what is the other half? Dealing with the situation objectively. And that's what forgiveness does, is it releases the emotion, it releases the relationship, it releases the other person back into the hands of God, knowing that that person is exactly where God wants them. So can we say that God allowed that person to do something to hurt us where we needed to forgive them? Absolutely. Because we need to learn how to forgive them. What God is doing, why he does what he does in someone else's life, really is none of our business. We may have an opportunity to help them, to share with them about forgiveness, but whether they receive it or not, it's not our business. It's not our job to correct one another. Now, it is our job to judge their behavior, to evaluate. That's all judging means, is evaluate objectively. So one of the things I ask is, if someone else, a good friend of yours, came to you with this situation, how would you tell them to handle it? And what we do then is make a list of what the actual elements are, what the actual problem is. And sometimes we find out that the actual offense is so minor, but what was causing this, the dust up, was that it had touched a wound. And until that person's wound was dealt with, everything was going to hurt them that came anywhere near that wound. Now, that's an easy thing. That just tells us that God is ready to deal with that wound, wants to heal that wound, and we get that wound healed and go on. That's probably one of the easiest conclusions. But a common situation is when that forgiveness has been being used to prevent change, to prevent accountability. And when we stop and look at what a person's actions are that caused hurt, is it good for anyone to allow that to continue to happen? And unfortunately, again, we know that the misuse of forgiveness is a common weapon in Christian marriages. That you can't say anything about my bad behavior, or I'm going to accuse you of not forgiving me. And perhaps we believe that I'm a bad Christian if I don't forgive. And if I don't forget that, you know, and throw it, you know, as far as the east is from the west, then God can't forgive me, or I have to forget it. And if I remember it, that means I didn't really forgive, so now I have to work on really forgiving. Well, these are all traps. These are all lies that we have accepted because we've become vulnerable, because we don't understand our new nature. You don't forgive. It's not something you do. It's something you are. Just as you are a loving person by nature, you are a forgiving person by nature. Whether there's someone there to forgive or not, you're still a forgiving person. It's just when someone hurts you, it activates that forgiveness. So practically, what does that look like? Once you've forgiven a person, that frees your emotions, and you're then able to look at the situation from a practical standpoint. Now, we've talked a little bit about in marriages, all different, whether, you know, whatever combination. And this is where, you know, other issues come up regarding, okay, I'm a Christian and I'm married to a Christian, and even though that spouse is abusive towards me or towards the kids, I feel obligated, I have to, God tells me I have to suffer. This is my role, and God's going to bless me in heaven. And this is probably one of the culminations that are just the most wasteful of a person's life. To have such a combination of misconceptions of the nature of God's love for us and in us. That anyone would think that it would be a good idea to continue in abuse that would in any way, shape, or form please God. That is a complete misunderstanding of God's nature. And we won't go into it that too far, but think about that. To think that God would at any time, in any way, that's what he paid for. That's what he sent his son for. So that we wouldn't have to experience that. So for us now to think that it pleases God. We have a lot of correcting of our own idea of God's love for us. And often what we're doing is we're not only living that lie of victimhood, martyrhood, martyrdom, but we're also keeping our spouse and perhaps children locked in those lies with us. I often say to, whether it's the husband or the wife, and whether it's just verbal abuse, physical abuse, just berating, you know, whatever it is, if it hurts, you have a right to say, ouch. Okay? Children pick that up as acceptable if you allow it. So if you are in a situation with your spouse and you're letting that your spouse treat you a certain way, you're not just saying, okay, I'm, you know, doing this to please God and I'll be rewarded. You are telling your kids that not only is it something you have to put up with, but it's acceptable. That this is normal. This is in a relationship. Love looks like this. When you love someone, you will hit them. When you love someone, you will yell at them. Well, when you love someone, you will call them names. So when we look at some of the effects of not understanding forgiveness, we see how our own tendencies, our own concepts get passed along. Not as something that we've thought out, okay, that we've become a Christian and now we've been told that we have to put up with this because it pleases God and we just have to learn to forgive them and that someday God's going to intervene and change the other person. But what you are telling your children is not any of that. You're telling them, you are defining for them by your behavior what a loving relationship is. So whoever for the one who is berating the other, whether it's yelling or belittling or hitting, let's just say it's the wife constantly belittles and abuses her husband, and he puts up with it for whatever reason. Those children are learning that a loving mother, a loving wife, is one who is going to treat me like dirt. So what do? A son will go out and find a wife like their mother, because that's what they have learned. This is what love looks like. And what do those daughters learn? This is how I express love. I correct them. I correct my boyfriend. I correct my husband. That's how you show love. So it has become, instead of a way to cope based on incorrect understanding of forgiveness, but based on that, you may just be surviving thinking God wants you to, and then you're going to be blessed in the sweet by and by. But you're teaching your kids what normal is. And that has nothing to do with reality, with truth, with God's nature. And then when you say, well, this is, you know, when you then turn around and behave in a Christian manner, when you go to church, when you read your Bible, when you, you know, take the kids to Sunday school, whatever your Christian activities may be, you are putting God's stamp of approval on your behavior, on your abusive activities, and you're accepting of that abuse. You're saying God approves of this. So that's how it becomes acceptable in the church. So that even within the church, we find how many, you know, people wonder why there's as much divorce in the church as there is outside of the church. And sometimes in some statistics, there's more. That's why. It's not because there's, you know, we're being attacked by Satan. It's because we don't understand that forgiveness does not let the other person off the hook. Doesn't mean that their behavior is accepted. But instead, we put the approval of God on bad behavior in relationships, in marriages, in raising kids. You know, when discipline is meted out with anger, and then you go to, you know, you lose your temper on the way to church, getting everybody ready, and then you go to church and you sing and everybody pats you on the back and, you know, what beautiful family you have. What is that teaching your kids? It's that God approves of violence. I'm not talking about just, you know, spanking. I'm talking about when it's in anger. Or when it's done because I'm bigger than you and I can't get you to listen, so this is what I resort to. And God must approve of that because, look, all these other Christians don't know what happened and they don't know what a, you know, angry person he is and what he just said to my mom and how he treats my mom. So I guess it's okay with God. And it's not okay. We have a responsibility to evaluate others' behavior that is separate from forgiveness. So your homework from last week was to write down that list of people that God brings to your mind. So go back through that list with what we've just talked about and just let the Lord perhaps bring other people to mind. Just let the Lord speak to you about this. Were there areas in your life that you learned your behavior because someone didn't hold someone else accountable? Thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again Thursday morning at 7:30. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great week.